Well, grace and peace be with you on this day. Here we are on a Thirsty Thursday, diving into the Word of God. We're entering into the season of Lent, the month of March, and all of those parts and pieces that pull together are aspects of life. And so the text in the weeks to come will all be around those gospels that Jesus shows us the revelation of who he is, what he must undergo, and the outcome of victory over death and all that holds this world back and down. So we have a lot to do in this season, and we're going to start out today with Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13. And this is Jesus and the temptation, and how he experiences freedom from that temptation. And so let's dive into this Thirsty Thursday. So here's the text. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give you their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only God." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And this is the word of the Lord. Again, that's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Well, this story is immediately following Jesus' baptism. Right where he heard those words just moments before this, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But now Jesus is driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days and nights. At the end of his fasting, he is famished and is tempted by the devil. The Greek here, a word would be diabolos, which can also be translated with the word enemy, adversary, or opponent. Okay, so we often have just this image of devil, the tempter. But it also can be translated enemy, adversary, opponent. These temptations that he gives to Jesus are to turn a stone into bread, to worship the devil and receive authority over all the nations, and to jump from the pinnacle of the temple where everyone would see angels carry him to a safe landing. Well, Jesus withstands and resists the temptation of this enemy, adversary, and opponent by focusing not on himself, but again, keeping his focus on his relationship with God and his role as Messiah. That's so important. Jesus stays true north. He keeps the eye on the ball. He stays focused on the main thing. Even in the midst of great temptation, to this one who's ripping at him and throwing everything at him, he stays true north. Now, the temptations of Jesus here, we will hearken back to this in our minds. They coincide with the temptation of our first parents in the garden. Whereas our first parents forgot who they were as God's children and instead focused on what they appeared to be missing, they fell victim to the temptations right there. So Jesus, however, remembered that as God's son, he lacked nothing and therefore was able to remain faithful to his call to be Savior and Lord. Again, the first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, we look into that story, temptation. They felt they lacked so much and they wanted more. The temptation to be like God. And here Jesus resists that temptation, recognizing that he is that Son of God. His identity is in place, child of God. And he has a call on his life to be Messiah, Savior, Lord, for the sake of the world. So a little bit more about temptation. The word translated as tempted might better be translated as tested. Now you may be saying that's not a big deal. Tempted, tested, same thing. But the tester, the one that we call the devil here, developed out of this character in the book of Job, who examines all of creation to check, for example, construction quality, the one who comes to test the limits, to test the structure. It is his job to make sure that everything is up to code. So he pokes and prods to make everything sure as everything is solid as God wants it to be. And if more weight's going to be carried, more testing is going to be required. So in Luke here, what we see in a reference point to that is that Jesus is going to carry great weight. He is Messiah. And he carries the weight of centuries of Jewish hope for justice and life in this world. And so this is a big story. There's a lot weighing in on Jesus and how he responds to these things in the world. And this image of bread jumps off the page. Of course, it says he's fasting, right? So he'd be hungry. The interesting thing that we know about fasting is at first when you're doing that, it can be very difficult because your stomach is just crying out, right? It needs something. And when you're so used to consuming bits along the way, your body's really craving. But once you practice fasting for a bit, and you build up into that, you find that you can go long periods without taking in food as a spiritual discipline. And as that hunger dissipates, the hunger is for more of something deeper, something greater, right? A word, a prayer, a reflection, a way of opening. So you strip away those things, fasting and prayer, and you sit in that with the hope that you see deeper. Well, Jesus was in the midst of that time of fasting and prayer, driven out from his baptism to go out and to fully discover who he was and whose he was and the call on his life. But this image of bread, this echoes the test that the first humans failed. Adam was offered food and he ate it without question. Eve was offered a chance to be like God and took it. The tester here in this text offers Jesus food, power, and even the opportunity to live without the limits of what it means to be a human being, such as gravity, falling off a temple mountain, and the angels catching you before you land on the ground. And Jesus responds to each of those by quoting scripture, handing back to Satan, the tempter, the evil one, another word from God. It's like checkmate, right? Checkmate over and over and over again. You say this, there's another word that God has to say. And so Jesus in this story is going to get the last word, but we end with a verse that's somewhat uncomfortable where it says, Satan departed until an opportune time. And we know in the stories to come that the evil one will be there in the garden, again, trying to distract or take Jesus away, but also at work in other people's lives as they seek blood and violence upon Jesus. And we know that that's the enemy, the opponent, the one seeking to destroy. And so how, again, does Jesus, how do we stand in the midst of all that we're tested by in the world and keep going? Well, we know that tempting and testing is a problem for us because we fall victim so often to it. And it can be small things, big things. It would be good this week for you to sit and to really reflect on what are those tests in your life? What are the temptations that you have had to walk through or are currently walking through? And what we recognize in the tempting and the testing is that we feel that we lack something in life that would add to our well-being, our wholeness, or identity. And that's why that temptation or that test might captivate us. Those things might tempt us to fill us up and make us happier or more fulfilled. And then we get them and we realize, well, that wasn't the thing either. Right? And maybe you've discovered that a time or two of life. You thought, oh, if I just had this, then I would be better. And then you get the thing and a couple weeks later, it's worn off and now you're on to the next thing. I think it's a big part of the human story. We're always driven by that next thing. And the enemy knows we have an insatiable desire, appetite for the next thing. And so those things lurk around us, and if we fall to that, we may miss out on the gift in the presence of the thing that's right in front of us, right where we are. And that is a travesty if those things distract and devalue and diminish us. And so we gotta be on our toes on this. We gotta be paying attention. You see, withstanding temptation isn't just about self-control or a better disciplined morality. But I think it's ultimately about true love. We're called to remember who we are through relationships. We are God's kids. We are God's family. We're brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, parents, children, friends, neighbors, co-workers, siblings of one another on the planet. And our actions and behaviors don't only affect us, but those who love us. Right? I mean, sit deep in that this week. Our actions and behavior don't only affect us, but those who love us. And I think that's why finding our way through temptation and testing is an act of love more than it is about self-control or deeper discipline. Those might be practices or hangers along the way, but ultimately the choice is, how can I love through this? Where it's not just about me, but it's about the whole. It's about the other. You see, the choices and decisions that we make every day, they're very missional. And that we strive to use those gifts and abilities and resources for building deep and healthy relationships with God and those around us. Jesus, I think, in this text, shows us that he realized that we need a Messiah more than he needed a slice of bread. And so he was able to say no to those temptations, to drive those temptations away, which is so healthy and so important. Imagine if this story would have been written differently. And so as I go back to that thought on love, if our withstanding temptations rooted mostly in relational identity, love, then how would you devote yourself to doing these things so that you can stay focused on who you are? Okay, if you're going to focus in on that area of your life, a Lenten discipline or practice, how can you stay devoted to who you are, who God has created you to be, versus letting those points of temptation be defining of you? And then what are the empty places in you that continually seek to fill up but never seem to get your fill? I mean, there might be something that you've wrestled with for a long time. And those are empty places, and you try to fill it, but it's never enough. And so how can you address those empty places in a healthy and faithful way? Again, going back to identity or love. And how can you be of support to others in dealing with their temptations? How can we sit at the feet of one another and maybe listen to what folks are being tempted by and how they're wrestling or struggling? And how can we help others to be grounded in their identity as a child of God and a valued family member of ours, right? Instead of throwing people away when they fall to these temptations or things that seek to injure them, to draw closer and to recognize a shared humanity. I think that's a deep and valuable lesson here that Jesus is wanting us to see and to pick up off the page. And so for Jesus, resisting temptation, we say, well, Jesus is a superpower, right? Jesus is superhuman. Jesus is a superhero. Well, I want us to pause and to also remember that Jesus was fully human. In everything that he is feeling in this experience of temptation, of hunger, power, control, the ability to form or to shape, all of that, that is part of the human story. It will always be part of the human story. So while Jesus may be fully divine, Jesus is also fully human. And so when he's undergoing this temptation, it's another pause, a full stop for us to recognize that, yes, our Lord and God, Jesus, goes through, feels, experiences everything that we feel. God did not send Jesus and put up the bumpers on the bowling alley and allow Jesus to just throw strikes. Jesus, like the rest of us, had to feel the swervy, topsy-turvy pathways and had to work through it, just like we're trying to work through it. And ultimately, what Jesus experiences by staying true north is freedom within the persecution, freedom to be who he has been created to be that child of God, and to be Lord and Savior. What a gift and what a blessing. I think God desires that for us too, that we would experience freedom within that persecution, that testing, within the adversaries that lurk around us. Because the freedom to be who you're created to be, pure gift, pure life, and pure hope. So on this day in Lent, let us return to God. Let us receive the gifts of grace. Let us pour out in our hearts and minds and souls and confess all those temptations that we face at every turn. Because this is no small journey that we are on. It's a struggle that Jesus knows well. And it's a struggle that Jesus shares with us. And the nearness of Jesus to us helps us, holds us, and sustains us. May we cling to him and really live in the midst of these temptations we face. Okay? So be honest in your testing. Take some time for prayer and some fasting. And draw close with others on this shared journey of life, knowing that God is truly with us and for us. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.